God has given us to worship, to come together as a church family, to sing his praises and receive his blessings. So let's worship, shall we? Please rise. And as we gather in God's house this morning, we gather under his abundant grace. Acknowledging our God, we begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded. Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember his wondrous works, his miracles.
And his judgments
ye are. O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
And to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded. See that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev.
This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For it was Abraham was justified by works. He has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist."
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise now for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has ascended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through the world that might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let's see, how can Nicodemus's response be best summarized? Perhaps, say what? Nicodemus does not understand what Jesus is talking about, and Jesus is content to let Nicodemus wrestle with his ignorance. Jesus even goads Nicodemus, saying, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Hey, Nicodemus, you're an educated man. You don't get it? Well, whose fault is that? Don't you know that the wind blows when and where it will? And so does the Holy Spirit." My goodness. When we think of Jesus' earthly ministry, when we think of the compassion that he showed for those who came to him seeking help, he sounds a little bit harsh, almost cruel to Nicodemus who came to him. But then again, Jesus is right, isn't he? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Nicodemus has been formally trained in the Holy Scriptures. And unlike the majority of his colleagues, this man came to Jesus. He came by night, of course, because he wanted to know more about him. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him." So suffice to say, Nicodemus sees something. He sees something in Jesus that his fellow Pharisees cannot. Now, given the religious community's hostile attitude toward Jesus, that's curious. You might even say a little bit impressive. And Nicodemus did seek out Jesus because he wants to understand. So why does it seem as though Jesus is giving this Pharisee such a rough ride? Well, first of all, let's get this straight. Nicodemus's lack of understanding is not Jesus' fault. Consider how many times Jesus shared the teaching of his kingdom with the ordinary people on the street, with tax collectors and prostitutes and fishermen. When Jesus spoke of God's grace and mercy and of his kingdom, the people came to Jesus. They wanted to hear him. They asked him to be healed. He healed them. They placed their trust in him. Even little children came to Jesus. They understood what Jesus was saying. And wherever Jesus went, there was always Pharisees there as well. And rest assured, they were listening closely to everything Jesus said. And so, those educated men had no excuse. Why couldn't Nicodemus understand what Jesus told him? The answer is all too simple. It is not that Nicodemus couldn't understand Jesus. Nicodemus wouldn't understand. Nicodemus was Nicodemus's problem. Nicodemus, along with his fellow Pharisees, had their own ideas of what God's Messiah would look like, what he would sound like, what he would dress like, and what he would act like. And Jesus just didn't fit the bill. A carpenter's son from Nazareth, a man of lowly human origin. No way. And that was just part of what kept them from seeing and understanding the simple and precious truth, which Jesus offered to them and to anyone and everyone who would listen. Jesus said, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." You know, Jesus said that many times. And it's not that the Nicodemus and the Pharisees were without ears or without hearing. They refused. They refused to hear. And we all know how hard it can be to hear when you close your ears and when you want to do all the talking. So, do you know anyone like Nicodemus? Do you know someone who doesn't get it because he or she doesn't want to get it? Well, I'll bet you have someone in mind already, don't you? We'll stop right there. Erase that image from your mind. Find a mirror. Stand in front of it and take a long and unsettling look. So what do you think about that? Well, before you pelt me with the hymnals, let me explain something to you. There's no shame in wrestling and struggling with biblical truths. I'm going to tell you something about myself that my fellow Bible students already know. The more I learn, the more I discover how little I really know. And that's why I continue to study. That's why you should too. This is how we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where true joy is found. Ask any of the men and women who join me in our studies on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Do you lack understanding? Why might that be? It's not God's fault. It's not because studying the Holy Scriptures is too hard. Do you have a Holy Bible? Do you pick it up and open it? How often? Do you accept your Heavenly Father's invitation to get to know Him a little more personally? And will you join us in one of our studies? Boy, it's a sunny day out today, isn't it? Spring's near. So maybe you're busy today and tomorrow. Maybe you got plans for this week. After all, the weather is getting nicer. Or perhaps you're busy planning for the future. The future. You know, I'm really curious. What are your plans for the future? Do you know what your future holds? God does. As do those who invest themselves in His Word, who look forward today to the eternal future that God has prepared for them in His everlasting kingdom. And so, what is it that you're looking forward to? My friends, if you don't understand what I'm saying, that is not my fault, because I cannot force you to pick up your Bible or attend our Bible studies. Just know this, that here at St. Peter, the Word is available to you to grow in the life to which calls you. The life which God calls you. Let me rephrase that. The life of which Peter writes in quoting the prophet Isaiah, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord remains forever." What is Peter saying? In the midst of life's many preoccupations, in the grand divine scheme of things, only one thing matters. Only one thing lasts, and that is the Word of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And hear this as well. Repent. Turn away from your preoccupations. Turn back in humility to the outstretched and loving arms of your Savior. Turn back, repent, and take your rest in His Word. What preoccupies you? What has you so concerned? Do you not know by now that the Lord has you covered? Life goes on. The world still turns. Why don't you let God be God? Receive His call to rest and receive as your Lord serves you with His gifts of grace and salvation. What I'm saying is this. Don't be like Nicodemus. Let it go. Loosen your grip on your ego and your desire to be in control, because you are not in control. So don't let any misguided preoccupations keep you from hearing what God wants you to hear. Hear His Word when He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of spirit and the water, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And you have been born again. You've been born again in the waters of holy baptism. God has given you His Spirit. God has made you His own. God calls you to Himself. Don't ignore that call. Don't live for the flesh which perish. Live for the imperishable Spirit by which He has given to you. And look forward to the life He has prepared for you in His kingdom of glory." Today, God calls upon you to place your future in His hands. He invites you to live according to the plan that He has made for you, so that you can look forward to the blessed future He has prepared for you in a kingdom without end. He is here to enliven you in your saving gift of faith, which has been poured out upon you in water and spirit, so that you might walk in the newness of life with Him until that day when He surely returns to lead you into His kingdom. To you, through the gifts of His church, the door of heaven has been opened, and here you are given a glimpse. You are receiving a foretaste of the feast that is yet to come, that awaits us in His kingdom of glory. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is open to all people. God wanted to give new birth from above to Nicodemus, and God wants to give it to all people. As Jesus Himself said to Nicodemus and says to us, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It is often asked, and some people mistakenly believe when they ask, will all people see the kingdom of God? I'm sad to say no. But is this God's fault? No. God has made Himself known in His Son. And God has given His Son for each and every person in the world, every tribe and nation and language. No exceptions, for all are sinners, and Christ died for all. God shows no favoritism. God makes no distinctions. And we should make no excuses. There are no excuses for not understanding what God has given to us. God has given us everything we need to understand His heavenly kingdom here at work among us, His Word, saving faith in His Word, and His sacraments of baptism and communion. God is here, and He holds out these gifts to you. When He does, take them. For if you turn your back, if you close your ears, if you refuse His loving invitation to know Him and grow in Him, whose fault is that? My dear friends, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our heart may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, dear faithful, receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated.